This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, September 24th, 2023, the 16th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, my ways. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We speak of the science of theology, and that's exactly what it is. Science, understanding, theology, things we know about God. There are things we know about God that are of his nature. Is omnipotence, is omnipresence, all those other omnis that make him God. These are objective elements of who he is in his nature. When our Lord presents these words in the prophecy of Isaiah, which if you're around here probably any more than a month, you're going to hear those words because I use those words quite frequently to speak of more practical issues, practical theological issues, particularly moral issues, when our Lord presents to us this fact that his thoughts are not our thoughts, nor his ways our ways. If there's anything we should understand about God, you know, it's great and we should, and it's imperative that we know he's omnipresent and all the other things that he does and his perfections and everything like that. I would submit that a more important thing to understand is how we deal with God practically. Or I should say, how he deals with us, practically speaking. We in our humanity have this tendency, and it's just our nature, because our understanding is very limited when it comes to right, wrong, good, bad, and things like that. Our experiences are very limited because we're creatures. He's the creator. He's a creator, and we have to understand that he is going to work in his creation as he wills. And we know from Scripture that that will is very good, no matter how it may appear to us at any given time. Whether or not something in our personal lives is going on that is what we would consider horrible. And a lot of times from our consideration, it is horrible. Somebody's sick, somebody's dying, you lose your job, things like that. Yeah, they're bad. But if you have faith in God, everything in this world is in accord with his will, whether it be permissive or decretive, meaning he lets it happen just because, hey, I created this world, I created people with free will, and they're going to do with that what they will. Or his decretive will, like if, you know, hey, Noah, there's going to be a flood that's going to wash everything away. Go tell the people, warn them. He decreed that there's a flood and there's a flood. No matter how God's will is presented, we know for a fact from Scripture, if you have faith, that everything he does is very good. This is where we need to keep our focus. This is where the practicality comes to the fore for us. We need to understand God for who he is. We need to seek him for who he is. This is not a suggestion. God's, you need to seek me while I may be found. Well, God's never going to go anywhere. He won't. You might. I should say you will eventually. There'll be a time on this earth, should the Lord tarry, when you breathe your last breath, and you better have sought the Lord. Not a Lord that you have made up in your own mind. Not a God that conforms with the whims and wills of the world, but God, the way he's revealed himself. This is the God we need to seek. And we need to do it quickly. Because we don't know how much time. St. Augustine, hits this nail right on the head. Back in the day, even St. Augustine's time, you got people that, well, tomorrow I'll convert. Tomorrow I'll start going to church. Tomorrow I'll start living this life of a Christian because right now I want to have fun. St. Augustine said this, don't keep saying tomorrow I will convert. Don't keep saying tomorrow I will start living a life that is in accord with the faith. It is very true. God promises forgiveness for your conversion, but he does not promise tomorrow for your delays. This is very profound for us. We need to seek God the way he is, here and now, okay? Or we're on very, very dangerous ground. Again, those two aspects, seeking God for who he is and not making one up in our own mind that we like, and seeking him while he may be found. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel actually said, while the bridegroom is here, they will feast. But when the bridegroom is left, he's talking about himself, then they will fast. I mean, even in Israel, when our Lord Jesus Christ is in his earthly ministry, and contrary to what you might read occasionally now, or not occasionally, often nowadays, when our Lord Jesus Christ came, his earthly ministry was not to minister everybody. He actually tells his apostles, don't go into the village of the Samaritans. I have been called to call the lost sheep of Israel. And they rejected him. And St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, looks at the Jews and says, you have accounted yourself unworthy of eternal life. We go to the Gentiles. God's not always going to be there. You need to seek him while he is to be found. And in his grace, he gives us a lot of opportunities, like our entire life. But this is where it comes to the fore that we need to seek him for who he is and how he's revealed himself. You know, it starts with repentance. You know, in our human nature, a lot of people, oh, you hear this a lot. You know, you hear it from the world, of course. But you also hear it from the church. A lot of people, not the church, but a lot of people who hang out around the church, hear this repentance thing. Oh, repentance. Oh, no, let's have a massive inclusion for people who are in abominable sin. We'll have a massive inclusion because God includes everybody. No, he doesn't. If you read the scriptures, there are several places where it says people in certain sins will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And it's just not one. There are several of them. Look that one up. It explicitly, they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Newsflash. Again, contrary to what you hear a lot, everybody's not going there. As a matter of fact, if you look at our Lord's percentages, most will not. Many are called, but few are chosen. Little things like that. Many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord. And I will say that I never knew you. This is a scary proposition. How do I fix that? Seek the Lord while he may be found. The Lord, not somebody who you make up in your own mind. Again, human nature, repentance. Well, if those people have to stop doing what they're doing, they won't be happy. I always love that one. I've actually heard people say, God wants you to be happy. There isn't a word in this book, not one. I challenge you, find it. There's not a word in this book that says God wants you to be happy. He wants with all his being for you to go to heaven. That's what he wants. He wants you to go to heaven. And that's the price that he paid for you to go to heaven. So there is no question that God wants the salvation of all men. No question whatsoever. But, you know, to pull the rug out from under all your unconditional love people, it's a satanic lie. It keeps people out of heaven because it makes everybody think that everybody's going there without any effort whatsoever on their part. And that's not true. That's antithetical toward the message of the scriptures. Nowhere does it say God wants you to be happy. He wants you to go to heaven. And he actually says you will be happy if you do what he says. Even in the most dire and grotesque of situations in this world, he said you'll be happy. You'll have this joy that passes understanding if you follow his word, if you repent. And remember, repentance is not, I'm sorry for what I did. Repentance is, I will turn away from what I did, ever doing in the future, and looking toward God. This is the sacrificial nature of our Catholic life. We are called to repentance. You know, and so many in their human nature like to point the finger at God like he's the cosmic ogre that doesn't want you to have a good time and makes you follow all these rules. He doesn't give us the rules to make us good people, as I always say. He gives us his rules because they're good for us. If we follow them, we'll get into heaven. If we cooperate with his graces. His call to repentance is not his, you know, again, him being the cosmic killjoy. His call to repentance is based upon his goodness. His goodness. We all fall short. We all sin. We all offend him day after day after day. And all we need to do is repent of that. Turn away from it. Have a firm purpose to amend our life. Be contrite, knowing that these things offend God. And then try to fix them. And he's given everything you need to fix them. Boy, throwing it. Not, I can't, but I won't. And that's on us if we will not. We have to repent. It's the caveat. It's a requisite of God's mercy. He gives his mercy to everybody because, just because. No, that's not what it says. It says, seek me while I may be found. There are caveats to his mercy. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unjust man his thoughts. Then the Lord will have mercy on him. So there's conditions from cover to cover, always. The Garden of Eden, I wish it was like back in the day in the Garden of Eden where there was just, yeah, everything was just perfect. Yeah, it was perfect with a caveat. Here's the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, do anything you want here. Except the caveat. We don't like the caveats. Oh, I shouldn't have that except. Has God really said, satanic? Okay, that's how he started all this mess. The call to repentance bases on his goodness. It's not because he's your, you know, he wants to ruin your good time down here. His ways are not our ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. It's modernism. You know, I throw that word out of modernism. What is modernism? St. Pope Pius X. It's the sum of all heresies. Why is it the sum of all heresies? It's because at the end of the day, modernism is making God in your own image. You know, I talk about satanic inversion a lot. You know, whenever it's the exact opposite of what God says, it's satanic. Has God really said, yeah, he said if we eat of that tree, we'll die. You will not surely die. Satanic, an inversion. No. That's not what God said. Whenever we see an inversion, it's always satanic. And there is an inversion when God says he's made us in his image, when in our day and age, a lot of people try to make him in our image. The F word. That's not fair. That's not fair. Who's the arbiter of what's fair? You or the householder? That whole parable that our Lord tells. God is not vindictive. But he does require things of us. You know, we can't figure him out. This is why when bad things happen in this world, we try to figure out why God would do what he... Sometimes he answers, sometimes he doesn't. But if he doesn't give you the answer that you want, go here. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You can't figure him out. You're not going to figure him out. The moment you can, you got to come to the office. Because if you figured God out as a finite creature and you figured out the infinite creator, we got to talk. I mean, you can help me out maybe. But as soon as you can do that, he's not God anymore. We can't reason our way through this. Reason alone cannot bring us to God. It's got to be faith and reason. They do go together. And it's not faith alone either, contrary to what some of your friends might say. Faith alone. Only time in the Bible, faith alone's in the same sentence. It's separated by not. Faith is not alone. It's faith and reason. I've given you all these graces. I've given you creation. I've given you the church. Okay, it's there for you to learn. We don't notice that Scripture don't say, grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Both grace and knowledge, faith and reason. And we unfortunately live in a day and a time, particularly our day and time, when everything's got, oh, prove that to me. Prove that to me. Why this and why that and why that? A lot of the stuff is just because, He God, that's what he said. You know, can I sit up here and tell, you know, how does bread and wine become the body? But because the Holy Spirit comes down and does what Jesus says. This is my body. This is my blood. That's simple enough. I mean, I could talk philosophically with you and everything, but you know, me explaining you the Trinity ain't happening. Not going to happen. You cannot reason your way through the Trinity. That's why God presents himself like that. Nobody can figure that out. Duh. That's because he's God and you're not. He wants you to know it. Because as soon as you know it, you deal with things in this life in a much more faithful, practical sense. This is why God works with that. That's why, you know, what it, in our day, what's fair? Everybody's got to be treated equally. No. We know from the New Testament, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts according to his measure. He gives everybody the same gifts. And you know why he works like, you know, why doesn't he give everybody the same thing? Because, hey, wow, we're all different. We're all different. Every single one of us is wired differently. We deal with different perceptions of things because of our experience, our culture, where we were raised, when we were raised. We're all different. So he's got to work with us differently. I wish I had as much faith as that person over there because I'd be able to do so much. I just don't have that much faith. I need to pray for more faith. Guess what? You might not get it. Because God, who's the searcher of hearts, who knows your frame and knows your dust, if I give that person that much faith, they become spiritually prideful and start relying on themselves. We will say in our conjectural perception of that, I would never do that. It's not a matter of, they might do that. He knows you do it. He knows how you are. So they're only going to get so much faith. Why isn't everybody called to the priesthood? Why isn't everybody called to the choir? Why is everybody called to this ministry or that ministry? Because there are different parts of the body. So God is going to deal with us in various and sundry ways to equip us to do what he wants us to do in this world. And coveting somebody else's gifts, gospel today, it doesn't make him unrighteous or unfair. That he's not fair. He didn't give me what that person has. I mean, we learn that this isn't just philosophical stuff from the prophet Isaiah. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the mouthpiece of God in a very literal sense. I mean, that's the incarnation. You know, so God can come down here and look you dead in the face and speak these things. The gospel today. That's what the gospel is about. That parable, that word picture that speaks of a spiritual reality. You got to admit, I don't think there's a person, if you're honest with yourself, if you're really honest with yourself and your human nature, when that dude complains about not getting it, in your human nature, you're like, I'd be kind of bent out of shape too. Yeah, I worked out there all day in the hot sun and everything like this, and this dude comes in and works an hour when the sun's starting to go down, and all of a sudden, I'm getting the same that he got? In our human nature, that's like, that's not really fair. Yeah, you can lie to yourself. I would never say anything. I would. I would. You know, you don't question how God works like that. Sometimes it works, because what we're talking about here, you know, conversion, you know, put it in the context of conversion. There are a lot of people who badmouth. Yeah, Uncle Bob, yeah, he's 85 years old. Yeah, he's never been to church a day in his life, but then he got cancer. And then all of a sudden, a priest coming and he's saying prayers and praying his rosary. And, you know, now he's dead. I don't think he's going to heaven. That's a vineyard person. Maybe Uncle Bob got cancer and got some time to bring him to heaven. And so, everybody looks at human nature, you know, or naturally speaking, and look at, oh, it's so horrible that Uncle Bob got, because he was a nice guy, never went to church or anything. He was a nice guy. It's really sad that he got cancer. No, it's not. It's a really good thing because now he's going to go to heaven because he got the daylight scared out of him. That's how God works. He works with different people because, again, this whole understanding that he's God. I hear this from people, a phrase, untimely death. It makes me nauseous, particularly if a Catholic says it. It's an untimely death because somebody's young or youngish when they die or that they had kids or something like that. That's an untimely death. There has never, ever on the face of this planet ever been an untimely death. Our Lord knows the number of our days when we're formed in the womb. Because again, this where we got to jump tracks. He's eternal. We're not. We're all about, he was only 8 days old. Or, man, they were 108 years old. If you're an eternal God, you're like, 8 days, 108 years, whatever. It's meaningless. Absolutely meaningless. And then we're here going to be an argument, that was an untimely death. No, it's not. Ever. Even our Lord Jesus Christ's crucifixion. You know, he's going away. They're trying to put the grab on him here and there. And then, you know, now you can take me. All right? Now you can take me. Even for our Lord Jesus Christ, who's God himself, he goes when it's time for him to go. This is a reality. This is the way God works with people. All kind of various ways. Sometimes if you look back, if you really kind of do it in hindsight, you know, like me, I'll use myself as an illustration. You know what I mean? Here I am, a priest. I wasn't ordained until I was 50 years old. 50. Yeah, I think about it. You know, I look at it from a human perspective. God, why didn't you just put this on me when I was in high school? Then I could have went to seminary and, you know, now I would have been a priest for like 45 years now and all this kind of stuff. God's like, because I don't think you'd look at it in polyester or going, let us offer each other some side of this peace. Okay, that's why he didn't do that with me. He didn't want me doing that. He wanted me here doing what I do. Okay, because they're different parts of the body. All right, so I'm not going to question why he did what he did. But we should never do that. We just sit back and go, you know, I don't get it, but it's a good thing. It's going to work out. It's that whole tapestry thing. This is who God is from cover to cover. Isaiah the prophet, our Lord Jesus Christ, St. Paul, Romans 11. Oh, the depth and the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How incomprehensible are his ways and judgments, and how unsearchable are the things he does. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? That's the Holy Spirit. You don't know him. You know of God. You don't know him. You'll never know. I always say, until the other side of the veil. When we get on the other side of the veil, we're still not going to comprehend everything. Angels don't comprehend everything. All right? He's always going to be God. We are never going to be. We will just have the beatific vision. We will just see him as he is. Doesn't say you will understand him as he is, because you'll never be able to. We just need to seek this God who's revealed himself to us. Seek him while we are able. Seek him while he is able to be found. You know, first and foremost, where do we see? I mean, objectively, in the sacraments, in the Eucharist, his body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the sacrament of penance, when you come in and Jesus absolves you of your sin, in the very body of his priest, his word. This is why I'm harping on that all the time. If you come around here more than a couple weeks, you know that you're not going to learn everything that the Bible says from the lectionary. As a matter of fact, you're not going to learn a lot of the really good parts that you should know about God from the lectionary. You need to read Scripture, because this is how God reveals himself. It's not reading a book. It is learning about who God is and how he works. And it is imperative for us to do that. This is the deposit of the faith. Scripture, tradition, everything that the Holy Spirit has done through the church and her teaching that has been consistent through out history. This is the God we need to seek. This is why he established the church, because that's where we find him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.